Wake the neighbors and phone the kids. It's about time for WSLM's newest show. Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk, the biggest and only local sports talk show in Kentuckiana. Focusing on Southern Indiana and Kentucky high school sports, regional college sports, and national sports news. If you want to talk to the KST guys, George Browning and Blair Thompson, call the KST Talk Line at 812-883-3401. Keep your comments brief and to the point, or Becky will throw a flag and take you out of the game. And now we go into Studio A inside the Pinewood Studios of WSLM for Kentuckiana Sports Talk with George and Blair.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk.
All right, you've gotten through another Monday, and here we are. We're at the All-Star break, and it's Kentuckiana Sports Talk coming at you from Radio Ridge. We got a full action-packed show for you tonight. I told you last week that this show is kind of evolving. We don't really know what it's going to look like, but we're going to shape and mold it each and every week. So we're going to get things started. Each of us tonight, we're going to pick what we thought was the biggest sports topic of the weekend, and we're going to talk about that for a little bit, and we're going to go around the table. We have Derek Early sitting in with us tonight. We got Blair Thompson. He's on location. We're not going to disclose that. We don't want people to track him down and find him. You know, he may have his beach body suit on, and we don't want to put that out there. And we got the brand new Eastern High School basketball coach with us, Michael Gillum. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting here next to him, and he's still got that new basketball coach smell. So we're going to talk to him a little bit tonight. And we just got a whole lot going on in the world of sports. We got our question of the week. Blair put that out on our Facebook page. We want to talk about our top five girls basketball players in Washington County. And, of course, you know the rules if you listened last week. These are players that we've personally seen play. We want a player from each school, at least one. And we want two guards, two forwards, and a center. And if there's time, we're going to talk about the All-Star game and maybe the home run derby. But we'll see how that goes. We're just going to dive right in. We're going to take a quick break before we come back and kick it off with our big sports topics from the weekend. We're going to hear This Day in Reds baseball history right now.
This is This Date in Reds Baseball, brought to you by Cincinnati USA Regional Tourism Network.
A big trade today receives a lot of attention, and you can imagine the reaction in Cincinnati on this July 16th, 1902, when the Reds acquired three players from Baltimore, three very good and famous players in their era. Joe Kelly, on his way to induction in Cooperstown, Cy Seymour, who played outfield for the Reds for 5 years, and to this day is the club's all-time career batting average leader at .342. And a guy who undoubtedly got the most attention, Mike Donlin, a lifetime .333 hitter who just happened to be in jail on assault charges when he was acquired by the Reds. A big deal in Reds history this July 16th, 1902, this date in Reds baseball.
This date in Reds baseball with team historian Greg Rhodes is brought to you by CincinnatiUSA.com, the official travel guide of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. CincinnatiUSA.com. Join the Cincinnati Reds Saturday, July 21st in honoring this year's Reds Hall of Fame inductees Dave Bristol, Adam Dunn, and Fred Norman. Arrive early for special pregame ceremonies presented by PNC Bank. Plus, the first 20,000 fans through the gates will receive a Reds cap presented by Fox Sports Ohio. See your Reds take on the Pirates Saturday, July 21st for as low as $12. For tickets, visit reds.com/tickets.
Here at Fantastic Sam's Cut and Color, we're all about real lifestyle. Today, I'm talking with Trevor, a real Fantastic Sam's client, father, and welder's helper. I'm digging the cut. Very trendy.
My stylist recommended it. Sharp part, high and tight.
Do you think I could be a welder's helper?
Know anything about welding?
No.
Probably not the best career choice. Just being real.
Ah, I see what you did there. Trevor found his real style, and so can everyone. Fantastic Sam's. Looks good on you.
Hi, this is Becky White from WSLM. Take advantage of this great deal through August the 8th to get the kiddos looking good for back to school. Come to Fantastic Sam's right here in Salem next to the Walmart and get their haircut for only $7.95. Kids age 11 and under only. No coupon needed. Offer expires August 8th.
Life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
All right, we're back here. We're going to, like I said, we're going to kick things off. We're going to share what we thought the biggest moment over the course of the weekend is, and we could all watch sports and pick out something different. So, Blair, what did you think the biggest thing that happened over the weekend was?
For me, you know, it's baseball season, and I was following my Reds, not our Reds, but my Reds this weekend, and I took the first two games to the Cardinals. After game two, the Cardinal organization, I feel like, made a knee-jerk reaction and fired their manager, Mike Matheny, who was, you know, it's 2013 in the World Series. His career record with the team is 120 games over 500. And, you know, they've been in the postseason from, you know, 2012 to 2015. Missed the last two postseasons. The team's currently over 500, and they fired the manager. So, you know, being an organization like the Reds, we're kind of used to being below this, and they leave our managers alone, it seems like, even though this year they fired Price early. But the Cardinals, I guess because of their reputation of being in the postseason and expectations, pulled the trigger on Matheny. And I personally feel like it was a little early. I mean, they're still in the hunt in the Central. To be honest with you, it kind of goes back to the coach always gets the blame. And it's one of those things maybe we can talk about with Coach Early and Coach Gillum in there tonight. And, the Cardinals organization didn't keep up with the Cubs. The Cubs made some huge picks. They spent a lot of money to get their team together, and I don't think that the Cardinals followed suit. And right now, they went and got Suda from the Marlins last season, and the guy's batting .268, and they thought Reyes was going to be somebody that could come back with Tommy John. He surely hasn't. And I've been reading a lot about your boy Fowler, and he's batting .174 right now for the Cards. So, I mean, you got players that are performing like that are supposed to be all-stars. And somehow that's the coach's fault. So, anyway, that's my stance, and that's my biggest thing for the week. But Mike Matheny getting fired for the Cardinals.
What do you guys think? Was that a fair foul, knee-jerk reaction, too soon for the Cardinals?
It is what it is. I mean, sports are sports. It's a business. At the end of the day, you have to produce not only as a player. Obviously, some of that, you know, the coach can't control if you're at the plate and you're not getting hits, or you're making errors in the infield or the outfield. But at the end of the day, it's the manager's responsibility, whether it be basketball, football, baseball, hockey, you name it. It's their responsibility to make sure they're putting players in position to be successful, position to win games, and getting the right guys out on the field. You hate to see anybody ever get fired. But again, sports at that level is a business, and people make decisions, and you got to roll with it.
Yeah, it's that bittersweet part of coaching where you're in charge, and in Matheny's case, he's in charge of a very proud program, and then all of a sudden you lose some success for a couple of years. Not that they've lost success; they've still been very competitive in the Central. But the wheels look like they're going to fall off, or it looks like we're getting passed up, and you have to show the fans that we're making a change and we're doing something different to hopefully fix it. And a lot of times that goes with the coach or the manager, and that's just kind of the hat you have to wear as a leader.
Is this a product of, I mean, he's the guy that followed the guy. I mean, Tony La Russa was there, and Tony has all the success for all these years, and now here he comes in, and of course the Cubs are rolling. You know, they started a little slow, but, you know, they're 7.5 games up on the Cardinals now, and St. Louis doesn't like that. You know, hey, we want to be in postseason baseball, first of all, but second of all, we don't like trailing the Cubs no matter what, and La Russa never did that. He had his foot on the Cubs' throat, so to speak, and is Matheny the result of the success that La Russa had there? Is this firing, you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. Like when you think about the Tubby Smith there, the Mike Davis there, the guys that are following people that were extremely successful, But, you know, one of the things I will compliment Matheny on, George, is in a paper this morning, he said, hey, I'm the coach. It's on my shoulders. I accept it. No ill will. Thanks for the opportunity. And that doesn't happen too often either, when a guy gets removed.
Well, you know, Blair, I've been in sports journalism for the last 20 years, and I appreciate the comment, but I know at the end of the day, when the microphone got cut off, that may not be how he really felt. But that's a great way to kick off our topics. I want to remind our listeners, Fantastic Sam's has jumped on and sponsored the show, and we want to thank them through August 8th for kids 12 and under. If parents want to take their kids over, they can get their hair cut for $7.95. So if you want to get the fresh look, or do we still call it fresh for you younger guys, or are they still, or is, I'm just going way back in the 90s, but hey, if you want your kids to look fresh for the new school year, get them over to Fantastic Sam's, get a haircut for $7.95 through August the 8th. We thank them for coming on as sponsors, and I've been hearing from a lot of people in the community, they like what we're doing here on the show, so if you want to be a sponsor, get in touch with Becky out here, and we'll get you on board, too. So we want to thank them. Derek, what do you got? What do you think the biggest topic from the weekend is in the world of sports?
Well, there were a couple of significant ones. I think you'll probably touch on a couple of those. I'm going to take us across the pond over to Russia for the World Cup. It finished up the men's edition of the World Cup. The women's edition is next summer. But they finished up playing Russia and France. Actually came home and brought home their second World Cup title, which is pretty significant. Soccer is obviously the world's most popular sport on a global scale. It was a roller coaster of a World Cup. We had the best players, and what I think we all could agree on, probably arguably the best teams, all got knocked out. Ronaldo went home, Neymar went home, Messi went home. And some of those guys just did not play very well. Ronaldo played well, but Messi had a bit of a unflattering World Cup, if you will. But I think the way the whole thing unfolded, it was dramatic goals, late goals, goals scored in extra time and extended time. I know I have a text message, a group text with several friends, and I'm not a huge soccer fan. It was not around here when I was little. Every 4 years for the World Cup, for the Olympics, I can always kind of get behind soccer and really kind of enjoy it. And in our group text, you know, there were three or four games in a row where one of the guys would say, hey, there's penalty kicks. You know, we're past extra time, they're into penalty kicks, game's tied. It comes down to these final five kicks for both teams. So for me, the way the World Cup played out makes it the most significant thing for me. And it was kind of two teams that no one, I think, envisioned being there, at least in the talk on other sports networks. No one really picked France or, you know, Croatia, to be there. There are, heard this on the TV, there are more people in Detroit metro area than there are in the country of Croatia. And they're there in the World Cup final. You know, France becomes the second youngest team to win the World Cup and trailed for less than 10 minutes the entire competition.
Yeah, and I'm going to sound like a complete idiot when it comes to soccer, Derek. I'm just being real. I didn't want Croatia to win just because France is a world power, and I'm okay with that as far as America goes. If France wins, good, but in my opinion, America should be in every major sporting event, and at the very least, we should make an appearance in the World Cup. So, you know, I know soccer hasn't always been our thing. The ladies certainly have figured it out, and we're dominant on that side of the sport. And I want to see our men get it figured out. But I was rooting for France. I really wanted to see the France and England and the two European powers there go at it. But I was really rooting for France. Normally, I'd root for the underdog because that's just what you do in sports, right? But I didn't want to see the little bitty Croatian team win. So I was really happy with the way it turned out. And the games that I did watch, and how can you not? The world is so crazy about it. How can you not turn it on a little bit? And it was exciting, and the games were close. And, man, I just hope in 4 years we can have an American team in there and really get our country behind it and excited about it.
Well, as a history guy, I'm just glad France won something for the first time in their life. France is usually the one that always comes out the other end of the deal. So I watched some of the France Argentina, I believe, and they had speed, man. They had speed, and And it was like, it reminded me of myself playing pickup ball, where I was just standing there into the court, someone throwing down to me, and I probably shoot a three instead of a layup. But, you know, it was just, they were always out in front of everybody, and I feel like team speed killed the rest of the tournament. So I don't think France would be advising me, George, to be on the national team anytime soon.
You know, on the topic of soccer, when I see the crowds over at Lou City, the professional soccer team, and there was talk about them bringing that to New Albany, the stadium, when they were, and I had my fingers crossed because I thought, boy, that'd be great if we could get that here. But I'm always blown away.
They get a tryout or something or what?
No, I just think it's a way to mix the two communities, but I just am blown away by the number of people in our area that I see as many people from Salem and Washington County going over there to support that and to watch live soccer. So,
right.
You know, another 10 years, I think soccer is, and I would be interested to talk to Mr. Newcomb and Mr. Whedon and Coach Bousman out there at West Washington. Of course, they don't have soccer. So, but the fall sports, I know football is king as far as ticket sales, but I bet Coach Whedon would probably say number two attendance-wise in the fall sports is probably soccer, because you go out there to watch the Lady Lions or the Salem boys soccer team, and they get a great crowd, and those schools that come to play them travel well. So soccer is really picking up here in America, and we're jumping on board with the rest of the world as far as that sport. So definitely was fun to watch and keep up with. So, Coach Gillum, your big topic from the weekend.
I'm going to take one that probably got moved to the back burner a little bit in people's mind, and that was semifinals at Wimbledon. You had Novak, a healthy Novak Djokovic, now back, playing Rafa Nadal in the semifinal in a marathon match. It went like 6 hours and something. And that was after Isner and Anderson had their marathon. And I don't think people talk about it a lot, but it was such a good match. I'm not a huge tennis fan, but anytime you have two of the best players at their crafts that go at it like that, and neither one wants to give an inch, and it goes the distance, and actually went to extra games, you know, it was kind of fun to watch those guys. Actually, they had to cut it off, and then I think start back on Saturday morning. But really, that probably should have been the finals. But again, anytime I get the opportunity to watch guys like that go at it, I love it. So that was big for me.
Yeah, I read this morning that if you were born from 2001 to now, you've only seen four different Wimbledon winners, four different people to win Wimbledon. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And on the other side, you've really only seen two, because Serena's won it, and then the young lady who won it, and I'm drawing a blank on her name. But
she upset Serena.
Yeah, that's what I mean this year. But let's not forget, Serena just had a baby like yesterday.
Yeah.
She was ranked 400 and something coming into this Wimbledon this year, and she made it all the way to the finals.
She's 10 months removed from having her baby, and she's in the Wimbledon final and is just, you know, on the brink of pulling up what would be an unthinkable, not upset for her, but a sports feat, you know, being that close removed from having a child.
Yeah, she's every bit as dominant in the world of female tennis as Tiger Woods was during his stretch when he was dominating golf back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So it's been amazing to watch. But I really do think it's good for the tennis game for there to be a more competitive field in that. And the same is true for really all sports. Isn't the NFL season better going in this year? Yeah, the Patriots may be the favorite to win the Super Bowl, but I think there's five or six teams that have a legitimate shot. The same is true for a lot of other sports. And when the field is competitive, you can certainly get excited about that a little more.
Yeah, parity helps, unless you've just got that one, you know, like dynasties are always good for sports in a lot of ways. If you've got a Tiger Woods or a Serena Williams, the Patriots of the last couple of years, the early 2000s Lakers, Jordan's Bulls, those are always good for sport, but you also like to see parity where you don't see the same winner necessarily on a year-in, year-out basis.
Yeah, for me, I agree with all these about the biggest topics. Really think baseball is the big story coming out of the weekend, and we'll talk more about that next week. I'd really be we're going to take some calls next week about baseball, and I want to hear from you Reds fans. Since WSLM is a member of the Reds Radio Network, we want to hear from you guys about where you think the Reds are. Are you start the year really coming out of the gate just tanking it, I thought. And to be right here at the All-Star break, 10 games under 500, Coach has come in and done an amazing job. And you see that lineup now. And I know when they play the Cubs, and really two out of three against the Cardinals, and these guys are playing some pretty good baseball. So I think I want to hear from Reds fans next week. Do you hope they just stand pat, keep this team together, and let's come to spring training next year with this lineup in order, maybe add a pitcher or two in the offseason, or, you know, where are you at? I want to hear from Reds fans next week about that, because I think I really like that team. I went up and saw them earlier when they played the Cubs, and I thought, man, who are these guys? It's almost like the old, you remember the movie Major League, when they come out of spring training and nobody knows the lineup. And,
yeah.
But you certainly know the names Jeanette and Suarez and Votto and those guys now, because they're hitting the baseball all over the park. So that certainly would be my big story. But we want to move on, and we got Coach Gillum here from Eastern. Like I said, we want to talk to him a little bit. We had Coach Brown on the show last week from Salem, and I said everybody wants that initial interview. You get the job on Monday, they want to interview you Monday night.
Yep.
I like to let the dust settle, because I know those first couple weeks you're just trying to figure things out, because you've been on the staff, you've been around the school, but it's still different when Coach Newcomb says, here's the keys, here's the whistle.
Yeah.
So tell me about your first month or so on the job here, Coach. How's it going down there in Pekin?
It's been phenomenal. You know, I had the luxury of being around this program now for almost a decade in terms of post-playing. And so I know our guys. I know kind of you know, where we are, where we need to be. You know, we kind of came in with an idea and a game plan for what we wanted to implement, some things we wanted to change. And we've really spent June doing that, putting in a new playbook. But more importantly than anything else, I think we've been trying to really establish relationships, kind of change the dynamic of our program and our culture and our approach, not just to basketball, but our sports programs over at Eastern. Trying to get guys really dedicated to coming in and getting better and competing all the time. And I think more than anything, if we can get that going the right direction, we're going to see a product, hopefully, by the time the season rolls around that our community can come out and be proud of and want to support. So it's been a blast. It's been a lot of work. Our kids have been working extremely hard. We've been in the gym a lot. But again, I'm really blessed to be where I am and to have this opportunity. So so far, so good.
Now, you may have answered this question with that, but that was going to be my next question, Coach. When you get the keys to the program, so to speak, what's job one? You come in there, and I know you got a list of things you want to do, but you hit the ground running. What's top of the priority list when you take over as head coach?
Well, because the guys, obviously our guys know me, and they know our staff, we had to convince them that we were going to be different. Things were going to be different. Not because of, you know, Coach Newcomb and things that we agreed or didn't agree on, but just because we felt like, as we got the keys, as you said, we wanted to make it ours. We wanted to make sure the guys approached it differently than what they had in any other offseason. And so, again, we kept back to that culture, and it became, hey, we want you guys to be a part of something special. We want to make this something special. You know, this program means the world to me. It's where I played. It's where Coach Harrell, who's on our staff, played. You know, the alumni are excited that we got in there and we're going to take this thing over. And so there's a lot of people, I think there's a real excitement right now. We wanted to make sure that the guys knew that this was going to be different than what they've done in the past. And that's, I think they really have. They've approached it a little bit differently. The mindset seemed to be different. Our leadership has been great. And so that was kind of priority number one, again, just addressing that culture and getting things mentally going the direction that we wanted them to.
How hard will it be for you, Coach? You played for Coach Newcomb. He's leaving after all these years. He accomplished a big milestone this past season, getting his 200th win, and he's still there. You know, a lot of time the coach leaves, and they move on to different things. But in your case, the guy who's driven the car for the last 20 years is still there. Is that something you look forward to? That, hey, I can call on him if I have questions, or is it? Does it add to the challenge a little bit?
No, it's awesome. You know, we talked for about an hour and a half today after we got done with weights up there. You know, there's so much respect and love that Coach Newcomb and I think have for each other. We've been through so much as a player and a coach, as coaching together on the staff, the highs and lows, and you know, he has so much knowledge and experience. And so I'm constantly picking his brain. I don't think I've gone a week this summer without a text or a call to him, asking for advice. You know, he's one of those guys that that's always, I know, going to be there for me, and is going to want nothing but success for me and the program. And so when you have that kind of relationship, it's definitely nice to have that kind of guy around. And so, you know, what he's done, you know, we're not trying to emulate what Coach Newcomb's done, and he knows that. We're trying to make this ours, and he's 100% supportive in us taking it the direction that we wanted to, or that we want to. And it's been great. It's gonna continue to be great because I know I have that sounding board there when things are good and when things are bad. So that's nice.
Eastern graduates, 7 or 8 seniors from last year's team, but at the same time, you have some experience coming back, especially in the backcourt with Matt Coates, and you mentioned Tevin Jeter when we were talking here before we came on the air. So yeah, you have some guards who have been battle tested, and as a new coach coming in your first year, it's got to be a little bit of a luxury for you to have some guys that are going to handle the rock for you that have been in some live action situations.
It's very helpful, you know, and we've really those two especially, Matt and Tevin, have we've had a lot of talks about leadership and making this their team. You know, they're seniors, they have some experience, not a ton, but they know where we need to be if we're going to be competitive night in and night out. And so they're buying into that. They really have, I think, accepted the role of being leaders. They're constantly communicating with the guys, getting the guys in the gym, getting them in the weight room. So we're seeing a lot of changes in that aspect, and that's been really nice. You know, Matt, of course, has played some for us and started some for us in the past. But, you know, we lost 8 seniors. Like you said, we're a brand-new team. It's going to take some time. We're learning that through June. It was an inconsistent-type June, but we knew that was kind of how it was going to be. But those two, we kind of found out if those two are consistent, it really helps us, helps our chances of success. So it has been nice having those two back that way.
When I heard Coach Newcomb was leaving, I talked to some other coaches in the area, and of course they didn't want to go on the record, but I said, hey, what do you think of the Eastern job? And you know, coaches around Southern Indiana said that's a desirable job. Now, of course, it's not just the coaching, it's the teaching. So, you know, but really the mark on Eastern is the athletes are great. It's a great school. It's a good job. Where do you think that stems from? And I heard that across the board, the 5 coaches I talked to, they all said, yeah, if the teaching thing, and that would be a place that you would want to end up as a coach.
Yeah, I tell people I'm very lucky and very blessed because not many people's first job is their dream job. Mm. And for me, I've always known that's where I wanted to be when I got the opportunity to be there. I think a lot of that desire from outside, kind of outside coaches about the position. You know, I'm biased, but I love our community. It's such a supportive, really hardworking, resilient group of people. You know, the teachers are great. It's a phenomenal place to teach. Our kids, you know, 99% of the time are doing things the right way. And so, love our facilities. There's just a lot to it, but that community feel, that love and support, you know, you go back and you look at our girls and our state championship run, you know, there were more people in our stands than I think are in the town, but everyone was there, and everyone comes out and supports each other and kind of loves each other. I've always felt that as a player there and a student, and then as a coach and a teacher. It's just a great place to be, and I'm lucky enough that I'm always going to call that home. And again, now I'm blessed enough to be able to take over that program and hopefully take it to a place that people are proud of and excited about.
All right, I love that. Your first job is your dream job. Blair, Derek, you got anything for the coach?
Yeah, just real quick, I'll give him something. I'll go two-parter. So for the first part, number one, how would you grade out your summer? Because I know with summer league and things like that, how would you grade your summer out? And then secondly, how much stake do you put in the summer?
You know, we approached June so much differently than what we had in the past. Now, we didn't play in the summer league. That was no slight to the summer league, to Salem, or any of those situations. But again, we needed the guys to understand that this is going to be different. And part of that was to do things completely different. So we played in shootouts. We played in scrimmages against teams that are not on our schedule. We wanted to venture out and be on the road a lot because we're so inexperienced. And we were exactly, I think, how we thought we would be. An inexperienced team that's learning new sets, that's learning new philosophies, new terminologies, new relationships with coaches. You know, there were times we really got after it. We were really, our heads were very high, and it was a lot of promise. And then there were nights where it was frustrating, and we were learning each other and trying to figure things out. But that's exactly where we thought we would be. So in terms of letter grade, it goes where we expected, you know. So, and then you, what was the second part of that?
Just how much stake overall do you as a coach, or maybe you guys as a program, as a group of coaches, how much stake do you guys put in the summer in terms of maybe summer facilitating regular season success?
Yeah, this summer is going to be different than what we're going to have, you know, probably moving forward, simply because we were adding and implementing so many new things. So our gym time wasn't as intense as what it will probably be during the season and in the off seasons ahead, because we were putting in new offenses and defenses, and that's more that mental part of trying to figure things out. And learning personnel. But for us, especially this year, with being an inexperienced team, the summer was crucial because we had to be in the gym. We had to get minutes for guys. We had to play a ton of games. I think we ended up playing 24, 25 games this summer. Just because, again, we got JV guys that were trying to teach new varsity players. And we even have some guys that were playing C team last year that are playing varsity this year. And so we just wanted to be in the gym as much as possible, working with everybody, staying positive. We're going to be a team where I think a lot of times you have teams that after the summer you can gauge what you're capable of and where you're going to be in November. Ours is going to be more, where are we in February? You know what I mean? As we get games on our belt, minutes under our belt, and gym time and practices, it's going to be a process. But our guys are, I tell you what, they're 100% committed. They're working their tails off. Coaches that are working hard. It's been really, really fun to be around. It's been a really, really fun June. And it was a blast to get to know the guys and to build on relationships that we already had. Did a lot of traveling together. So great experience so far, but we got a lot of work to do, and then they're working hard, so it's good.
Well, and I ask that because I think probably the three of us, Blair can attest to this, he can speak to this, in the day and age that we are in now, with there being such a social media presence, you know, everybody can go to Twitter, everybody can go to Facebook, they can all jump on a discussion forum and either A, be your best friend, or B, be the first one to go in and tell you how awful you are or what they think about your team. But it's all fun and games if you want to be behind the keyboard doing it. But that becomes much more prevalent at this point. And I think we can all speak not only to just the three fan bases in this county, but the ones that surround this county, the fan bases around us. You know, the Floyd Centrals, the New Albany's, the Providences, they are all extremely passionate about their teams. And for some of those, especially, and I'm, you know, I can speak for Salem Eastern and West Washington right now, some of the fans within that fan base will look at a summer and say, well, Coach Gillum took Eastern and they didn't lose a game this summer. So when we roll into the conference schedule and, the Silver Creeks and the Brownstowns are knocking at our door, you know, we shouldn't have a problem there. You know, we should lose two or three games this year. Or you have the flip side of that. Well, you know, one of the three county schools didn't play very well this summer, so that must automatically mean that the season's going to look rough. And sometimes that can be completely flipped. You know, like you guys said, you played 20-some-odd games this summer. We have other schools in the area that you know play 30 and upwards of that many games in a summer. And I think it's nice to be able to maybe let the fan base know to tailor your expectations just because just because the summer goes really well, or just because maybe the summer doesn't go the way they expect, That's not necessarily indicative of what your season is going to look like. You know, like I know with the summer, you'll play five guys in, five guys out. You may not be playing your top eight all summer long. You may not be playing, you know, say you play a Bar Reeve or somebody like that. It may not be Bar Reeve's best team. They may have guys playing baseball or playing tennis. Yeah. So you're not seeing everybody's full squad in the summer. That's just kind of something for the fan base to think before you put a whole lot of maybe undue expectation or limitation, if you will, on your favorite team. Take in mind that it is the summer and there's a lot of work left to do before November rolls around.
Absolutely. You know, and from a coaching standpoint, June's a trial and error period. You know, you're trying new sets, you're throwing in new defenses to see what it looks like. You know, you're at the mercy of the other sports, like you mentioned. You know, football's going on, baseball's going on, cross country's getting started. And especially at the smaller schools, you know, we're splitting a lot of guys, and so guys are in and out. But you know, it is what it is, and everybody's kind of in the same boat. But that's a good point. And you do have to put some stock into it, but you also have to understand that, you know, 20 days of organized gym time isn't going to determine maybe how you're going to be in February. So that's a good point.
I thought that I want to just piggyback on you a little bit there, Derek. When you remember when Clay Starrett's group was in junior high, I think in his seventh and eighth grade year, they had a combined record of about 60 wins and three losses, maybe. And they may not have had three losses. And here they go through high school and they don't win sectional. And I remember being over at Brownstown after they lose there to Paoli in the sectional championship. And I say, Clay, would you have ever thought that you get through 4 years of high school and you don't have one sectional? And he said, no way. I thought we were going to win at least two, maybe three, George. And it's just, you can't foresee Joe Hinton getting the Paoli job and then three kids moving into Paoli that they right. don't have. You beat Paoli by 30 points when you're in seventh and eighth grade.
Right.
Hey, well, and those parents don't know that those three kids moved into Paoli. So they're saying, what happened? Right. We beat Paoli by 30 points when we were in seventh and eighth grade. Well, those kids weren't at Paoli, so there's so many different factors.
A lot of things you can't script.
That's right.
Between the summer and when the season starts, so.
That's right.
Yeah, I know that firsthand. We got beat by a kid that moved in from Floyd Central on a last second shot on a holiday tournament one year, George. I don't know about that. You know, I think you might be sitting next to you.
That's a good day.
That's first introduction to Coach Gillum right there.
That would still stink.
Last second shot to put it away.
Hey, you guys got us back, though, I think, in the regular season. Chad remembered that.
One thing I want to say, Coach, first of all, half the side of my family is the speaking people, and the whole Heinz side of my family, they're huge speaking supporters still, right. And you know, there's nothing greater to, you know, I'm a Salem guy, everybody knows that, but when the sunken gym and he's watching it is rocking and you got to play the pool, man, that is a fun experience, one of the best gyms I think to play. Around, and not just obviously not just Washington County, but the Mid-Southern Conference, and you know, I kind of thought that out there about that shot. I won't forget that shot, by the way. But you know, what's the difference? What do you think the difference is in your generation, Coach Early's generation, of a basketball player versus a kid today? You've seen it as a player, and now. You're coaching a different generation. You know, George and I are kind of the elder statesmen, and we kind of have a couple generations that we've seen the change in. But you know, what's the biggest biggest change to you, or is there a change from what this player today is versus what it was, you know, for you guys 10 years ago?
To be honest, I think there's a real obvious answer to this that I've kind of realized over the years. You know, when we were growing up, it was hard to keep us from playing basketball. We were all, if there was a gym bouncing and you heard it, you were going to go figure out where it was because you wanted to play. Right. As big of a rival as the Salem Eastern basketball situation was back then, and I loved playing in that, you know, in the off season, we were calling each other. You know, let's go meet at Riley's. Let's meet at Pecan Park. We have a gym. Let's go play. And so we would get in the gym and just get after it without coaches and all that stuff. If it was warm enough, we were outside. It didn't have to be warm enough. We were outside playing. Now, at the same time, we didn't have the social media distractions and all that stuff that we're dealing with now. And that's just part of it. I'm going to sound like an old guy, but it's kind of the reality. It's tougher you don't see kids fighting to get in the gym like we used to. Now, there are still some, but, you know, you're not seeing 10 and 15 guys at a time getting in there, which is
right.
what we're missing, I think. Guys are working their tails off when they are in the gym, but it's on kind of the coach's time and when we have it open for them.
Just trying to get that. I mean, I've seen it, you know. We were talking last week about how we would sit at even Brady Trump and there'd be 40, 50 kids up
right.
there playing. And you got beat. You'd have to sit two or three games
exactly.
just to wait to get back in again. And then pretty competitive games. But, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm excited for you to have that job. Obviously the clutch machine is in your blood. And I think that, you know, the competitiveness that you're going to bring to the table to the Eastern program is going to be a huge shot in the arm. And what Coach Duke has had down there, you know, taking it to the next level. So I'm just really, like I said, coaching at a school that you played at, it's something that's different that, you know, a lot of people don't understand. And to have that kind of the passion and to want to make sure that, you know, your school, your place, moves forward. So, you know, hey, good luck, and we're excited that you're the head coach at Eastern High School.
I appreciate it, man. It means a lot.
We'll get you out of here on this. And last week we didn't have Coach Brown pick his best five because we didn't want to put him on the spot. And we won't do that to you, making you pick girls and alienate anybody. But
yeah.
Talking about the Eastern girls program. So we'll, as a coach coaching alongside Coach McBride down there and the success he's had and a state championship now and a couple sectionals under his belt, does that, how much does that put a fire in your belly that you want to see the boys experience some of that kind of success that he's had?
Yeah, it's awesome, and we're really hoping we use that a lot. You know, what our girls have is what we're after. You know, they're rolling right now. They're going to be rolling for a while. When you look at our feeder program and what's coming up, we have a couple undefeated groups down there in the middle school right now. They're really going the right direction. The big thing that we're trying to change with that boys program that I think they've got figured out is these girls are falling in love with basketball at a very young age. And I've always been a big believer, it's not necessarily when you pick up a basketball, it's do you want to put it down? You know, can you instill that passion in a young kid to want to put everything they have into this? And Coach McBride's got those girls doing that. And so we're putting a lot of time into our feeder program right now in the elementary league. We really just want to get that culture back to where it used to be. You know, back when we played and even before us, you know, there were so many consistent groups coming through that just loved to play basketball, and that's what we wanted to do. It didn't mean you didn't play other sports, it didn't mean you didn't do other things, but basketball was a passion in your life, and so that's where we want to get. And like I said, Coach McBride is going to be a huge help for us. Obviously, it's a guy I really look up to. I have so much respect for what they've done. And that's where we want to take the boys level. I told them now, as crazy as it might have been 2 years ago, the standard now is the state championship. You know, that's the goal. That's the new goal. And because of our girls, thanks to our girls, you know, we can look at that and say it's doable. It's not easy. It's going to take a lot of work. But that's what we're after, and that's what we're trying to build up to.
Well, Coach Gillum, he married a lady senator. He's got a new job as head coach. They got a beautiful new baby. Big things happening for you, Coach. We just want to wish you well. WSLM looks forward to working with you here this season, and we hope to see you get this Eastern Musketeer program turned around. And I know all of us here and Coach Newcomb and everybody's rooting for you. So we wish you well. Thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate it, guys.
And we look forward to seeing you here. We're going to give you a little break now. You get football to enjoy and get ready for things to take place. So thanks again for coming on, and we'll be seeing you soon, Coach. Thanks a bunch.
The This is the Big Ten Today. I'm Bill Pollack. Bill Beekman has officially been named as Michigan State's new athletic director. Here's interim president John Engler.
He's going to take on this new position with the enthusiastic support of Spartan Nation. Bill Beekman, with his integrity, his leadership, his dedication to excellence, will bring success and honor to MSU athletics.
And of course, the coaches spoke as well. Mark D'Antonio, the football coach.
Another relevant moment in Michigan State history, really. You know, leadership was sort of thrust upon Bill Beekman. He has a distinguished presence, I think, at this university.
And the longest tenured coach at Michigan State, men's basketball coach Tom Izzo.
You got 26 coaches and a bunch of assistant coaches and a bunch of workers that are going to probably work as hard as we can work to make your stint successful. Well, you're our head coach, and we're going to do our best to make you look good. And
Beekman took over on an interim basis shortly after athletic director Mark Hollis retired following the Larry Nassar sex abuse scandal in February. The new leader of the Buckeyes, Eric Webster, reports.
With JT Barrett in the NFL with the New Orleans Saints, Buckeye Dwayne Haskins is entering the year as a starting quarterback. He understands the responsibility being under the spotlight brings.
No, not that JT's not here. I got to take on a leadership role, and I've been doing a great job as far as since day one, since JT has been on to just embrace that. You know, be a good leader, be a good teammate, and most importantly, be a friend for everybody.
He spoke with reporters after volunteering at the Special Skills Football Invitational at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
I'm Bill Pollack with the Big Ten Today.
Here's the thing that makes life so interesting. The theory of evolution claims only the strong shall survive. Maybe so. Maybe so. But the theory of competition says just because they're the strong doesn't mean they can't get their ass kicked. That's right. See, what every long shot come from behind underdog will tell you is this. The other guy may in fact be the favorite. The odds may be stacked against you. Fair enough. But what the odds don't know is this isn't a math test. This is a completely different kind of test. One where passion has a funny way of trumping logic. So before you step up to the starting line, before the whistle blows and the clock starts ticking, just remember out here, the results don't always add up. No matter what the stats may say, and the experts may think, and the commentators may have predicted, when the race is on, all bets are off. Don't be surprised if somebody decides to flip the script and take a pass on yelling uncle. And then suddenly, as the old saying goes, we got ourselves a game.
All right, welcome back. We want to thanks again to Coach Gillum, and really looking forward to basketball season. I know it's mid-July, but hey, it's Southern Indiana, so it's always basketball season. Always basketball season. So again, we want to remind everybody, Fantastic Sam's is a sponsor of our show, and through August the 8th, if you have kids getting ready to go back to school, they're doing haircuts for kids 12 and under for $7.95. Haircuts aren't really a high priority with me anymore. I don't have much there to work with, but these guys here, Blair and Derek Early, who's joining us in studio today, they got more to worry about up there than I do. So go check out Fantastic Sam's. Tell them, hey, I heard about the deal on Kentuckiana Sports Talk. Let them know you're listening, and we appreciate them and you for tuning in tonight. All right, so we've talked a little bit about our big topics from the weekend. We've had Coach Gillum, and now we're going to talk about the question of the week, our top five girls basketball players. Now, remember, the rules are you have to have seen them played, and we want at least one player from each team because, hey, we're diplomats here, right? Right, fellas? We want to include everybody. We want to make sure everybody has a seat at the table. So,
equal opportunity employer.
That's right. That's right. We want to make sure everybody has a place. So we're going to let Blair kick us off here. He's going to give us our team, and then he's going to tell us why. And then, hey, me and Derek can maybe pick him apart a little bit and say he's crazy or what,
absolutely,
whether or not we agree with him. All right. Let us have it, Blair. Let's hear what you got.
All right. Listen, here's the deal, though. I have one situation. I have a sixth man. or six woman.
Come on, you know what a six woman means says to me, Derek. I'm not bold enough to pick at five.
It's called indecisiveness.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about like six person after we're done. Okay.
Okay. Let's hear it. I'm gonna reserve the right. Okay. Let's hear it here, Blair.
All right. First of all, center. I'm going with 50 Jones at West Washington. Obviously, she dominated almost every game that she played, and she was a double-double every night. So that was, to me, it was a no-brainer at West Washington. At Ford, one of the first Ford, you know, this is the harder for me. I was back and forth, Drury or Stewart, and I went with Stewart just because I haven't seen too many athletes like she was, and I feel like in those finals games she just took over, and her athletic ability to me, I love the Drury girl. I love our parents, and I don't want them down on me right now, so I'm a big Drury fan too, but I give the edge to Rachel at that spot. The other Ford, arguably one of Sable's best players, playing at USI right now. Started the second half of the season for USI, Alex Davidson. I thought Alex could take over any game she wanted to. She could shoot three-pointers. She could take it to the hole, get rebounds. She was a phenomenal player for us and carried us to the sectional championship that we had no business of winning that year. As the shooting guard, the best player to ever play at Salem, and holds multiple records, which I know a lot of people don't know this, but she holds multiple records at Marshall University. Christy Knoll, Christy only had the three-point line 1 year as a senior in high school and had all the records in the three-point, still had a couple for three-pointers at Salem High School and only had it 1 year. So Christy could fill it up. And I really have been pushing to get Christy's jersey up in the gym because she was a Division I athlete at Marshall and Marshall's Hall of Fame. So I'm gonna push Coach Wheaton to make that happen. So hopefully one day we can get that in our gym. And then last, which is what's been a controversial pick, I've heard from a lot of people this week, just because she's still playing. But my point guard is Leah Miller. And I think she is phenomenal. She's the best point guard I've seen play in the last 10 years. And I know this weekend she went up to the top 100 clinic, and she's going. She's starting to get her name thrown around to big time colleges. And if she was a true point guard and she has to do to distribute the rock, you're not going to find any better. So that's my top five. I'll hold my six thoughts for later when I'm done.
Oh, I thought Drury was your six. So you technically you got a seven there.
Okay, no, but six.
You can't bring two off the bench.
Peter, Salem High School. She played 4 years at Cleveland State, Division I. But she kind of gets lost in the mix because she played after Christy after Christy, and then now the success we've had of late, she kind of gets lost in the shuffle. So Julie Peters, actually Julie Darble now is her name, Cleveland State.
Right. Right. I hear she was pretty solid.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
there you go, seven.
I got to be honest with you, Blair. You know my history. I moved here in 2001, so I didn't get the honor to see Christy Huff play, now Christy Knoll. Obviously, though, if you make the Marshall Athletic Hall of Fame, that tells you what kind of player she was. And, again, I've seen the Salem record books, and to still have your name at after all the players that have come through over the last 30 years and to still be there in the record book. The seasons are longer now. The opportunities to break records are there. And when your name is still in the record books, that just speaks to the kind of player you are. Can't argue with Alex. I always said this, and this isn't a knock on USI or where she's at or what she's doing there, because I just applaud a kid who's there doing it and doing it like she's doing it at that level. But I said this when she played here, if Salem was in a bigger market, so to speak, there would have been some bigger schools that came knocking on Salem's door wanting to talk about that young lady, because You just don't have kids with her height and her ability to handle the basketball right. and shoot it. I thought Alex was under-recruited, personally. But hey,
a lot like Gunnar Irwin. Well,
sure.
Her and Gunnar kind of had the same deal there. You know, I think they both could have played to a bigger school. One of the funny things about Alex is, she could have been a Division One softball player as well.
Absolutely. Funny story about Gunner, and I know this is about the girls, but I had a conversation with a really high-level D2 basketball coach about Gunner. I won't mention his name, but he has won a D2 national championship, and it's pretty close.
I mean, coaches on the other side of the river, doesn't he?
Coaches on the other side of the river. And I said, how come Gunner can't get a look? And he had a young man playing for him at the time from New Albany who was just a year ahead of Gunner, and he said, they're carbon copies. You know, and he said, if I didn't have this young man,
right.
I would have certainly looked a little more seriously at Gunner. But again, there it goes to timing.
Like I say, it wouldn't be terrible to have a carbon copy coming a year behind either, though.
Well, sure, but he's only going to get him for a year.
Cause... Not a bad problem to have.
Hey, and that young man for New Albany is pretty good. I'd find out two of those on my bench.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyway, certainly, great. That's a great list, Blair, and I gotta applaud you. You know my rule, though. I try not to pick any players that you pick, so you put me in a bind there, taking Alex. And Misty's another one. I never got to see Misty play, but I've heard the stories about her ability, and obviously you could tell by looking at her, she still looks like she could probably play some, you know, if she wanted to. So that's a solid list. I'm going to share with you somebody else who might know a little bit about Misty's game. Who he participated on our Facebook page. You think Coach Rosenbaum might remember how good a player Misty was? Because she made his list. A girl he coached against back in the day, Laura Little. So Misty would have been his starting center. Laura Little would have been his starting power forward. And he's coming into the modern game. He picked Taylor Drury as well to start at forward. And then he went way back and got Christy Huff, who's now Christy Knoll, as a shooting guard. Ashley Voiles would have been his point guard. And he said he picked her because he had to have somebody to pass the ball on that team because he had so many scorers. So
shots to go around there.
Absolutely. That's a solid team, too. I think Laura was one of the first teams I covered when I moved here to Washington County when Laura and company won the sectional there at Salem in the early 2000s. So that's a solid team. Derek, who you got?
I'll start things off. I think Blair and I are going to have one that's going to overlap here. But unlike him, I'm going to take all players who have graduated on my list. That's going to be one of my requirements. I'll have to have graduated. All these girls are going to be great in their own right. But for me, kind of my great separator for the list here is how did each one of these girls impact winning on their given team? Was there success? You know, we've all seen the player that can go and get 25, 30, 35 points, but their team won six games throughout the course of the year. So I wanted to look at five girls who have really impacted winning and had success, on top of also being a really good basketball player. So at center, to anchor my team, I'm going to go with Jocelyn Musti from Eastern. You know, she was a dominant center at the high school level. She was a Division I player. Incredibly tough matchup, and especially in this part of the state, almost impossible to guard on nights that she felt like going and just going and getting hers. You know, would not be unthankful to say, hey, I'm going to get 30 tonight, and she'd go and get 30. For my power forward, I'm going to go with Alex Davidson from Salem. She was a leader, a sectional champion on a team that probably no one in their mind would have thought was going to come out of that sectional. She kind of willed that whole group to victory over the course of that sectional week and just put the team on her shoulders, you know, for the course of that sectional. She played all five positions. She could guard all five positions. Like Blair alluded to, she did a little bit of everything on the court. And as far as going from a freshman to a senior, she may be the most improved player that I've seen come through high school, going from where she was as a freshman to where she finished up, you know, as a senior going on and playing Division II college basketball. My small forward, I'm going to go Angela Newkirk from Salem. Again, she's a leader. She's a sectional champion. another girl that could just go and put the team on her shoulders and get you 25, 30 points if that's what the game called for. She could score. She could rebound. She was a senior going in, and when I was a freshman in high school, and her senior year, she started coming to the open gyms with our varsity boys team. And typically, you have those situations where maybe guarding the girl is an afterthought whenever you're picking up matchups, and that was not the case with her. Anytime she stepped on the court, she was one of the first people picked for the team. And when it came to getting our matchups together, she typically drew arguably the best defender on the other team. She was someone we knew we had to guard, someone we had to stop, someone we had to look out for, and is a girl that could just absolutely light it up. For my shooting guard, I'm going to go Rachel Stewart from Eastern. I think state champion probably says enough in that regard for her. But for me, you know, they talk about a five-tool player in baseball. For me, I like to use the analogy Swiss Army knife, and that's kind of what she would be for me, and especially on this team. She could score, defend. She did the little things. She'd get on the floor for a loose ball. She'd take a charge in the last 10 seconds if it meant to win the game. And more often than not, she was also the best athlete on the floor. She was an amazing track athlete, too. And all the track meets that I worked, she would do sprints, she would do long jump, she would do high jump. I don't think I ever heard a meet where she finished outside the top three in any of her categories. So I want her as the two guard on my team. And then lastly, I'm going to go with a three-point specialist to kind of round my team out. I'm going to pick Tori Packwood from West Washington as someone to just kind of stand out. I think I've got enough players that can create and get it, and do things off the dribble, get to the hole a little bit. If need be, Alex Davidson can be a little point forward for me if that needs to happen. But I'm going to pick Packwood to set up behind the three-point line. She had 7 threes in a game in high school once. Every team needs somebody, needs a Steph Curry type that can just get you points from behind the three-point line, especially in today's game. So that rounds out my five.
I got to be honest with you. You may have 2 Stephs on that team because I saw there were nights when Angela Newkirk would light it up like Steph could. I mean, she wasn't a streak shooter by any means. She was a really good pure shooter. But if she got hot, look out. Just feed her the ball because if she was putting it up, it was going in. So she was really fun to watch play. What do you think about Derek's team there, Blair?
I mean, I think that's one of the things people forget about Newkirk, and she played little league football also, and I remember her guys running away from her because she would smash people, you know, so she just, I think she probably was the first two-way threat that, you know, she could score inside and outside, and she was a phenomenal player on that team for Coach Thompson as well. And, you know, Moosey obviously getting the D1 look. You had to go with her. And so it was a pretty good team there. And I don't know, you know, like I said, I still have the edge, but I still got Christy in my back pocket there. And you guys can have it because you didn't see her play.
That's right. I probably saw Rachel a little more than you guys did, being down there and peeking and watching her grow up. I think she has a little bit of the Romeo Langford thing going on. You would watch her some nights, and it would look like she wasn't really doing anything, but then you'd see the stats at the end of the game, and she'd have 18 points, and she was a stat stuffer. She was a lot like, you know, Terrence Williams at Louisville T-Will. He would have 20 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 steals. Just really every category she contributed in some kind of way. And you think, I didn't even realize she was doing that much out there. And if you remember the semi-state game where Eastern kind of dominated the whole game and that team made a push late, and Rachel was really the difference maker. Everybody was kind of getting rattled on the court for Eastern except Rachel, who was making plays down the stretch and really settled things down. And she to me was like the person you want in the storm. I would be like looking for her. Get Rachel the ball, everybody. I was coaching from the stands kind of as you would watch those games and say, I want it in her hands. So she's certainly the kind of girl you want on your team. I really think that's a pretty solid team. I don't know who you pick there when you got Packwood and Newkirk out on your wings, Derek. If somebody's driving and kicking,
whichever one's open,
you better not leave either one of them, because either one of them could knock it down for you.
Coach Early and I were watching that game from our couches, and we were up jumping around, like I said, like Shooter from Hoosiers watching those girls games. So, and I just wanted to mention, George, and I always told players, I was people or coaches, and I was staff number two, and just because I wasn't doing much on the court, you know, I'm still filling it up. So.
Okay, well.
I wasn't doing a lot of work out there, but I can still, you know, get some stats.
You remember, though, some of those coaches are still around, Blair. We can verify some of these things still yet. So keep that in mind. Here's another team I wanted to share from Senator Land. You know, Josh Green, he made my boys list just because of the teams. Josh said his team would be Misty Jones. He would have picked Moosty as a forward, Taylor Drury, Alex Davidson, and Rachel Stewart. Again, these are some of the same names that we've seen there. Certainly some good players, but you kind of forget about the Angela Newkirks. You know, Derek brought her up, and I said, yeah, how can you miss her? But
even, you know, the Laura Littles and girls like that.
Absolutely, and I think Angela would probably tell you part of her ability came from her older sister played with Laura. And those
right.
girls won, you know, Angie Nichols, and she's Angie Buchanan now, and she was on that sectional championship team.
Right.
Angela Newkirk played against, she was much younger than those girls, or a few years younger, and she had to, that's who she grew up playing against, so they would beat up on Angela, so she had to be tough. And when she got her chance to shine at the varsity level, she was ready to go. Darren Russell, who's the girls' basketball coach, I appreciate him making a pick because that's kind of risky when you're the you're the coach out there. He picked Misty Jones, Taylor Drury, Alex Davidson, Christy Knoll, and Ashley Sullivan. A pretty good crew there too. So nice looking list. It's so much fun to do this, and I'm like you, Blair. In my mind, when you talk about your team, I see my team going up against yours. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, I want to pick girls that match up well with yours. So if you're not on my list, it's not necessarily because I didn't think you were one of the top players necessarily. I want to see how you match up against some of these other teams.
Well, you always state that I pick mine first, and then you can't put anybody on yours that's on mine. But I put mine out almost a week in advance, so you have a whole week to do a little research there and scheme up what you're going to do against my team. So I don't know if you really truly believe that's a negative me doing that. So.
Well, maybe one of these days you'll let me have first in the draft or something. Maybe I can have you do the thinking. We'll see how that goes. I got one more here from our Facebook page, and just I want to remind our listeners to check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter, because we will post these questions, and it gives you a chance to participate answer the question of the week, so you can participate on the show, and we're going to read some of them, just like we're doing here this week. Jamie Richardson, who's a regular listener, he listed his team, and it's pretty similar. He listed Misty Jones, Taylor Drury, Alex Davidson, Christy Knoll, and Chandra Coffey. Chandra Hobson, that's a name that hadn't made the list, so I don't know. We'll have to dig in and see if we can get some more information about her. He also said, I'm with you. You know, Derek, when he said his team, he said they had to have graduated. I thought maybe there were some one and dones that I didn't know about. But he's talking about he didn't want to pick any current players. Jamie said Leah Miller is on her way to making the list, but he was like you. He wasn't ready to pick anybody who's still in high school playing. So, but he said she's definitely on her way, and having seen her play, I would hear the stories about Leah coming up in junior high and elementary ball, and I would say, well, I've heard that about a lot of players, but honestly, seeing her play last year down the stretch, I thought, well, I think those stories may have been true. I don't see anything to doubt some of those. But anyway, here we go. Here's my list, all right? Well, my well-thought-out list. At one guard, my point guard is going to be Katie Ernstberger. So, Blair, with you in mind, I wanted to make sure Leah is going to have to guard somebody, and I know Katie was a lockdown defender. She's going to make Leah work. I think Leah can still get her points, but she's going to have to work for them against Katie. And two guard, This is a name some Salem Lady Lion basketball fans are going to be familiar with, Shaylee Brown. Shaylee was a heck of a scorer. She could play some defense. And you know what? If Katie gets in some foul trouble guarding Leah, I think Shaylee can run the point for me. And she's going to make Leah guard her a little bit too. So you're going to maybe we can get Leah in some foul trouble guarding Shaylee. My lady senator on the list, and this is tough. I went with Shelby Springer. You know, Shelby was a solid scorer. She could do a lot of things with the basketball. I think she could play guard or forward for you, small forward. I didn't know Derek was going to pick Moosty, but I did. I got to pick Jocelyn. I think Jocelyn was as good as I've seen in the last 20 years here in Washington County. She could do a little bit of everything with the basketball. And, you know, I remember talking to Matt Hudson, and Matt was a great quarterback for Salem and a solid basketball player, but he was so tall, and he got typecast as a forward or a center.
Right.
And if he would have been a guard, he would have had a better chance to play college basketball, too, because he had a lot of talent.
Yeah, he played point guard in middle school.
Yeah, and he just shot up, and guess what? When you're 6'5", you play in the paint. And that's just part of the small school or the downfall, or at least being behind an eight ball playing at a small school. But Jocelyn had that a little bit, too. And then, of course, my other forward is Laura Motzinger. She was shooting the baby hook. She got a lot of her points. I don't know where she's at on the all-time scoring list at Salem, but a lot of those points she has came with the baby hook shot. And just be warned, her daughter, Claire, is already learning that baby hook shot. So she's fourth, fifth grade, somewhere around there. So look out. Coach Hickey, be ready. You got another baby hook shot, another Laura Little coming up here in the ranks. But she loves softball, too, so the Salem softball program's in good hands. So anyway, there's our teams. This is fun for us to do. Like I said, it's not a knock on anybody who didn't make the team. And these girls would tell you who did make our teams. They couldn't do it without the other girls who were there feeding them the basketball and showing up to practice every day. So it's just a lot of fun. We want to remind you, though, our show is taped tonight, so we didn't take any calls. We want to get home and watch one of these Cubbies win this home run derby. And we're getting close to our hour, but I do want to ask a question here of both of you. And we can make it short because I know we're running short on time. I had an argument recently with a friend of mine. Is Ace Ventura a sports movie or not? Would you consider it a sports movie? They steal the dolphin. Sports movie or not?
You can classify it as a sports drama.
A sports maybe. Drama. I like it. That's almost next level. It's not only a sports movie, it's a sports drama.
You got the Ray Finkel issue.
That's right.
You know, Finkel's Einhorn. There's the stolen dolphin. Not enough sports in the movie, though, to really be considered a sports movie, maybe. But
Blair's out.
There are sports involved.
Like say, so he's saying not enough sports to call it a sports movie. Blair, give me an answer here. Sports movie or no?
I'm a guy that says Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So, I'm going to say...
That's not an argument. Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I would call Die Hard a Christmas movie.
Right, a lot of people won't. But, hey, before I answer this question, my cancer doctor in Indianapolis was named Einhorn. First time he introduced himself, I wanted to bumble to myself. Finkel's Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. Didn't really know what to say. Kind of freaked me out a little bit. But.
If you didn't use any Ace reference, I'm going to applaud you for your restraint.
I did say it to him, and he heard him before, so he started laughing. He's a 70-year-old man, but he still got the reference, so it was kind of good. I'm going with, I think it's not a sports movie. I'm going on the record saying I think it is.
I love it. I remember I started the argument because I said, hey, I'll be back in 5 minutes, and if not, just wait longer, because it's one of my favorite lines from any movie. So anyway, hey, thanks for listening. It's Kentuckiana Sports Talk on WSLM 97.9 FM, 1220 AM, your leader in sports in Washington County and Southern Indiana. We thank you for listening, and tune in next Monday night at 7, and we'll have another whole list of topics to talk about, and follow us on social media, where you'll get the question of the week. We're not sure what it is yet, but we'll be posting it soon. Thanks again. Good night, and God bless.
You've been listening to Kentuckiana Sports Talk on WSLM, 1220 AM and 97.9 FM. Join us next week for more sports talk about local, regional, and national sports. Be sure to call in on the KST Talk line at 812-883-3401. And between now and then, tweet your comments and questions to KY in Sports Talk or post them on our Facebook page at Kentuckiana Sports Talk. We'll have a question of the week, polls for you, and all the latest news and interviews with local and regional players and coaches. Join George and Blair next week on Kentuckiana Sports Talk.